Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. I'm having a wonderful conversation with my new friend, Tina Nguyen. We've been working this journey together and didn't even know it. At different spaces in time. So Tina, before we went to break, we were talking about you were in the book. You talk about how people always ask you, you know, why you cover the far right instead of the far right, far left. And your first answer was, you know, because the left is incompetent. And the second part of your answer, which I think is really applicable at this hour as we're getting ready to go into the 2024 cycle. You say the second answer is that sometimes I don't think the left or even people who consider themselves centrist, center right, or even a regular card carrying Republican who's wondering why everyone went batshit over the last 5 years understands even now the scale or geography of the mountain that's in their way. I'd even go so far as to mix metaphors and say it's a mountain that's also a perfectly calibrated Rube Goldberg machine, a bit too elaborately constructed with hundreds, if not thousands, of different pieces that need to be placed just so in order to achieve a specific outcome. That is so true. You know, this idea that the left sees the mountain and their view is, well, we'll just go right through it. Mm-hmm. Or somehow it would just magically disappear.
We're going to tell the mountain a really strong story and everyone will change their minds and go, oh, I was wrong the entire time.
Right.
There you go.
And the mountain will get up and move itself. talk about that in the context of your covering the MAGA movement from inside and outside. How that sets up the narrative for this 2024 cycle. You have a left that is, you know, pulling their hair out and really is strategically behind where the right is right now. And you have a right that knows that and takes advantage of it at every turn.
Yeah, exactly. The conservative movement is a machine and a network and an ideology, but they have been incredibly good at figuring out how to take each other's internal structures and replicate them over time. So you've got your Heritage Foundation, which kind of sits there and pumps out think tank papers and gets in donors and kind of designates who is and is not conservative. Mm-hmm. But just because there's one Heritage Foundation doesn't mean you can't create that model elsewhere.
So right.
You've got like a bajillion think tanks that are trying to be their own version of Heritage for their own ideals. You've got journalism programs like the one I came out of that are trying to find young generations of journalists and shape them in a very specific intellectual mold to send them out in the world and just like seed conservative right-wing ideas into the ecosphere. You've got right-wing news outlets who have over time been funded specifically to provide right-of-center news. And the idea of that went from like a pretty noble, you know what, maybe the liberal media doesn't consider these stories, to we're just going to spout a whole bunch of conspiracy theories in the air and no one can tell us no.
Right.
And the thing, like, these are all independent entities, but everyone knows each other, or everyone somehow knows someone who knows that person. And I think that is the key differentiator between the left and the right, is that like the right, if you just like poke a little bit hard enough, you'll find maybe 2 or 3 degrees of separation, and at least you'll know like where they worked. And that background is immediately like, oh, I get you. I see you. It's sort of like, I don't know, being a member of the Ivy League or something and trying to hire for a, like if you got a Yale student versus some like Vanderbilt student, you'll hire the Yale student because and the progressive movement just does not have that immediate like facility and connection with each other. And which I think goes is to their detriment, because when you've got like a community of people who've known each other or have like their forefathers who've known each other for 60, 70 years, like you're more inclined to work together than somebody who just like came from some random college. And like that was the entire, that was all of the progressive movement, and that was all of the like, and that was all of the Democrats I ever spoke to.
Just that kind of thinking around how to, it's an interesting bubble. I've been trying to help them pop it, but Lord knows it is not an easy one.
It's just they just cannot think in that mindset at all.
Yeah.
It's like the Republicans must hate. Let's like all hang out with each other because they're equally hateful.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's it. And it informs everything that they do, to the extent that they wind up doing nothing. There is no counterweight to anything. So instead of calibrating a response that has a political, undercutting to it, they have this, it's much more of an emotional response that people look at and generally kind of tune out. Mm-hmm. Because there is no, it's like, oh my God. And instead of, you know, hey, why don't we put up an ad that says this? Why don't we put up an ad or put out a narrative that says that? You know, I tell them all the time, I said, why are we talking about Joe Biden's age? Why do you guys talk about Joe Biden's age as much as you do? Well, because he's old. And you know why you recognize Joe Biden is old? That to the point where you're now sitting there biting your fingernails down to the nub, because Republicans told you he was old and they kept saying it over and over and over again. And you bought that shit. And you're the ones. I mean, Republicans aren't running around talking about Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's age and all. They just throw something out in the ether. You guys run with it and they sit back and go, thank you. My work is done.
The messaging apparatus on the right is just so much better than the left. There's a concept I actually come up with that I actually talk about in the book called the infinite fringe, and I'm trying to develop this into a more like cohesive theory. But when I first started reporting on the MAGA movement and its clash with the traditional conservatives of like the Republican Party, I was always thinking about that moment where William F. Buckley went pushed hard against the John Birch Society in order to get them out of the movement.
Yes.
And this was a super conspiratorial wing of the GOP Republican right at the time that Buckley just did not want involved in what he hoped the conservative movement would look like, because they're like batshit conspiracy theorists. And so he devoted years of his life, was fighting every single person who wrote into his magazine, writing op-eds about how the Birchers were bad, spending like pretty significant political capital on it. And he was successful. The Birchers were no longer there. And I think they're like almost kind of a dead movement. But the thing is that I was always waiting for that moment to happen on the right when Trump came in, and people tried and they tried and it just could not happen. And they fired people from their publications and they condemned them online. But the thing is that the person they were trying to get at, like trying to get rid of, would not be silenced.
Right.
Buckley could do that because he owned the biggest conservative paper of the time.
Right.
Fox could do that with Tucker because they had the airwaves. But the moment that you can go like on the internet and take your following with you and say, oh, you can't cancel me, I'm going to say the truth from over here, their followership goes with them.
Yep.
And as long as that person can talk like whatever they think the truth is, that version of the truth is still going to exist. If someone in that orbit gets fired, he can go even further. and just like start saying his shit over there, and someone will keep following him. Someone in his universe get fired, he goes there, and on and on and on and on.
Well, we've seen that with Tucker and Fox now going off and starting his own thing. We saw that with Trump himself when Fox shut him down. What do you do? Okay, it's Truth Social. I'll create another platform to continue. Right. The Birchers didn't have that against Buckley. And it speaks a lot, Tina, to the social media component that is both the seed and the poison that sort of infects politics in a way that stuff grows, but it's not necessarily all good. So you've got the seed, right? It's a great, you know, it's got this opportunity to sort of, you know, really inform and take people to great places, but there's also a poisonous strain of it that you've gotta be guarded against. And that's the difficult part, because you make a really good point of how much easier it is for the Proud Boys and Tucker to align in a different space, even though the institutions of Fox and the body politic push them out. They can just go take their followers and grow their followers from that different space.
Exactly. Like over in that corner, and they have allies with Elon Musk, who now owns Twitter, X, whatever.
Right.
They'll have a giant network of free thinking podcasters who will be like, yeah, you know what? You're allowed to say what you want to say. And they'll be able to continue being on those shows. And look, the entire blob itself existing is always a pretty terrifying thing, especially since there seems to be no one singular, there is like no singular person in that blob in the infinite fringe who has like the power, and you can point to them and be like, yes, this is the most powerful person. But like the overall existence of it is based on the idea that the people who were in the center and used to be the gatekeepers of information are bad. So like, yeah, your National Reviews, but you're also your New York Times's and your Vanity Fair's and all of the, like it, all of the newspapers and news outlets that used to dictate what was and was not news.
Right. Right. Talk to us a little bit. You go through your associations in the book, and you've had a lot, you've been in a lot of rooms, with folks, give us a sense of the impact of a Mike Johnson, a Tucker Carlson, Matt Boyle, and of course, Steve Bannon on all of this, and how they've played a role in shaping this current version of Republican slash conservatism.
I would say that they were the first examples of the infinite fringe breaking out of the Republican Party. Like the reason that they could go on, the reason that they started their businesses online was because one, they were cheap. Like it was cheap to do so. Mm-hmm. And two, they had a little bit more, they had way more control over what they could say on their outlet than they would if they were trying to play nice with someone in print media or television. And the second, and but like, they did start out with pretty noble intentions, I think, but the incentive structure of the internet is such that eyeballs and clicks and views immediately translate into money and relevance. Mm-hmm. And the more eyeballs you can get on your content, the better. And the more, and at some point you will start having to resort to some pretty insane shit in order to get eyeballs on your site. When I was at the Caller, it was a pretty innocent time, and I think what we were doing were bikini slideshows or something, because slideshows. We were like little like internet gremlins, and we're like, hey, hey, bikini photos of like hot Israeli ladies, but also too, the slideshow format counted as a page view, and then you could take that metric and feed your advertiser and be like, see, we got this many views, right? Hey, more money,
right?
But then at a certain point after I left, there was a an op-ed editor there who was secretly connected to a white nationalist group that was trying to insert white nationalist ideas into conservative papers. And it was really easy for him to do that at the Daily Caller because they needed clicks and page views and to fill out the content.
Right.
So if you, so it's a matter of, I think that period of time was like, exactly what can we do with the internet? And the commons and like, can we can anyone control the commons of the internet? And if they can't, what can we do here? And also, right. How can we maintain money and relevance? And that is just like a really twisted incentive that took those four guys you talked about in weird directions.
Yeah, it really did. And for me, I've always said, because I've seen it inside, and then I can almost pinpoint some moments when it began, this idea of recognizing the dollar value of political movements, political ideas, political energy, translating that into a grift. And it becomes a much easier thing to do. So I'll go out and say something that is a load of crap. And then someone will respond to my load of crap. That's because mm-hmm. that's what I want. I want my crap out there, but then I want you to respond to it. And when you do, oh my God, I'm a victim. Look at what they're doing to me. Look at what they're saying about me. Send me $5. and so I'll feel better if you send me $5. I'll feel so much better. And then I get my, you know, poor little sons and family members, if you're Donald Trump, to go out and say, my daddy's under attack. Mm-hmm. Send him some money just to, you know, help him with his legal bills, you know, all of this crazy stuff. But the other aspect beyond the grift is what's important to note. And again, you know, I had an issue with the Daily Caller and their quote journalism when I was RNC chairman, and Tucker showed me everything that he was in that moment when we gave him the truth, we gave him the verification of the truth, and he ran with the lie. Mm. And that was the breaking moment for me with him. And I understood, okay, you're an asshole. I got it. Good to know. Because now I know where you are on my chessboard.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.